Welcome to the Conversations Podcast. We are concluding a 14-week series that we have been in called Follow Jesus. It's a little bittersweet, guys, to be at the end of the book of Matthew after all this time. I'm joined by two special guests and friends to unpack it all. First, we're joined by lead pastor Jose Abaroa. Jose,
hey,
welcome
Taylor.
Back.
Good to be here.
Podcast. And I'm so excited because we have Diana Niemeyer from our worship team that many people see on stage, but now get to join us on the podcast. So Diana, thanks for being here.
Yes, of course. Thanks so much for having me. It's a privilege.
It's going to be a great conversation. I already know it. But Jose, would love to give you the first word, as we usually do, on what God taught you going into this Sunday, not only just preparing for this final chapter, but also just capping off the whole series and the book itself.
Yeah, we ended with the beginning. So it says in the beginning of Matthew 1 that that Jesus will be named Emmanuel, God with us. And we end in Matthew 28 with Jesus's words now, and I will be with you always. So really the whole book of Matthew speaks to how God is the God that is with us. He doesn't abandon us. We belong to him. We become more like him as we grow, and then we're called to reach others for him and with him as we love those around us. And those three words, belong, grow, reach, we see so clearly in Matthew 28, but they've really been there all along throughout the Gospel of Matthew. You say it's a little bittersweet. Here's the good news. You can reread the Gospel of Matthew, Taylor. You can go back to the book. Don't just you know, conclude and say, all right, we're done with the Gospel of Matthew, on to the next thing, because it really is, I would even say biblically, it's the best gospel that ties. It's the first gospel or the first book in the New Testament because it ties the Old Testament so beautifully into the New Testament with prophecy and all of these fulfillment scriptures that fulfill other things. So it's a great one.
Diana, I'd love to hear your thoughts on not only just this past Sunday, but as the series as a whole, the book of Matthew, Belong, Grow, Reach. Love to hear some of your thoughts on what God taught you.
Yeah, when I first heard Jose talk about Belong, Grow, Reach and that kind of being a vision for our church, it just really excited me, because I know that when I feel like I belong to a group and seen by people and people know my name, I feel like I'm in a safe place to grow, and it's okay to be a little uncomfortable because people give me the benefit of the doubt in those doubts. And then I am also able to reach and feel safe to find other people to be with us in that and grow with us in that.
A lot of people may not know this if they don't know you super well. They see you on Sunday and the way that you lead us so well in worship, and yet you have such a heart and so much fruit that has come from relationships for those that have yet to know Jesus and the connections that you build. And so I'm excited, because as I was thinking about, you know, who we could ask to be on a podcast, I thought of you because of the stories, and just you have such a humble heart and yet just a true, genuine love for people. And so I'd be curious, just to kind of hear, is that something that God has always kind of instilled throughout your whole life? Was there, we don't have to get into your whole testimony per se, but just thinking about when do you feel like God really began to kind of stir your heart for those that don't know him?
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, Taylor, because I don't feel like I'm necessarily good at sharing the gospel with people, but I can, God does put it on my heart to let people let me know that I see them.
Yeah.
And it's just such a big deal for somebody to reach out to me and let me know that they saw that I was having a hard day, or just that I needed a friend. And so I know that I can at least just show up for people and hopefully just be the face of Jesus to them.
Yeah.
And that's just I know that that's had made a huge impact on me. And so
a lot of people did that for you, modeled that for you.
Yeah.
And now you really do that well, both you and Justin, with your community group especially. It's been really cool to see how you have reached out. And I love also how all three are together. There's belong, meaning, hey, you belong to me. Jesus here in Matthew 28 is saying, I'm the king. I'm the one that's in charge. I have all authority. So I'm going to send you. It's crazy to think that he's sending the people that were worshiping, you know, maybe hands wide open, saying he is risen. He came out of the grave. He actually did it. And then there's people that are hesitating, or the word that we read, doubting. And again, I this week was really struck by the idea that perhaps they weren't doubting Jesus. Maybe they were doubting themselves. Maybe they were doubting their own ability to have a relationship with a God that just conquered death. You know, maybe they were so ashamed and felt like, how could this be? You know, I deserve the opposite, and yet I'm given this incredible gift. And the point there is the scriptures don't camp out there. The scriptures camp out that Jesus then sends both those that want to worship and say, yes, here we go. And those that are like, me? Are you sure? Or I'm not sure about this. And I don't know about you guys, but I resonate with that, where, Dinah, you just said it, getting out of your comfort zone sometimes is so important. That's where we grow. We call that the growth zone, right?
Absolutely. Well, I just think about, I talked about this at my community group last night, but how encouraging the disciples are, because I think sometimes we think, why didn't they get it together? Or like, what are they missing here? Like, it's so evident that, you know, Jesus rose from the dead. But I even think before the cross and before the resurrection, just even the way that the disciples hesitated, Jose, I like how you use that word as far as the doubt that can also mean hesitated, and just how often, even when it comes to trying to execute the plan that Jesus had asked them to do, and it's one of those where there was hesitancy all across the board, or hesitancy about where they were going to be in heaven on the throne. You know, there's just so many things that are relatable, because even just being on staff at a church, you would think that I wouldn't have any doubt and that I would just be like fully in tune with what God's doing and totally trusting. And yet there are times where I'm hesitant. There's times where I'm like, okay, that worked this time, but is it going to work next time? Or is this, you know, what's happens in this situation? So I think that there's a personal side of that that's encouraging for me, just because there is grace, and we know that God meets us, you know, right there as far as with the faith that we have in him. And he's so gracious and patient with me. And I feel like that's helpful just when I think about just who God is and then who I want to be towards other people that are still having questions about God or still trying to figure out who he is there.
Yeah. And he sends you regardless. So he wants you to go. He wants you to make disciples, to reach out to those that may not be like you or may not like you. He wants you to be baptized and read his word and live it out. And, you know, I mean, we don't get to a certain place where God says, okay, now you're ready. No, he says, go, 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 go. So that's what's so amazing.
Diana, I'd love to hear kind of, was there a moment just as we get to know you more, a moment where God kind of made it clear that he wanted to use you? Like, at what point did you kind of either help start serving in the church or just helping just recognizing, oh, God wants to use me, because that's an invitation, as we see in this passage, that he does want to use us. And for me personally, it baffles me sometimes that God would want to use me, but just curious kind of how that personally, when that clicked and how you've seen God move as you've stepped into what he wants you to do.
Yeah, that's a great question. I've always watched my parents serve in the church, so it's kind of just been a culture piece in our family. And for a long time, I just thought I was a singer. I thought that was just my piece. And a lot of people in Cyprus have called out different giftings in me, and that has really, you know, I've had doubts in myself about those giftings, but as I feel that this is a safe place for me to grow, I've been able to, you know, just step out in faith and trust that even if I fall on my face, God still has got me, and my team has got me, and it's just been a really cool growing season.
I think within about a week and a half, this was a few years ago, I don't know if you remember this, but I had seen you on stage on Sunday leading in worship, and then you were showing up for like a Wednesday thing or something like that for student ministry. You were serving in student ministry, and then the next Sunday you were in kids. I remember thinking, like, she's everywhere. Like, she literally is serving with so many giftings, and so I think that's so special. Jose, I know you've shared a lot from the stage of how God has kind of shown you, but just what is the significance for all of us, even those that are listening that are like, okay, God could never use me, or I didn't go to seminary, I didn't have some sort of formal education. So what would you encourage someone that's maybe in that season where they feel like they're on the sidelines and feel like they aren't?
I would say this, that we're missing you. Like, the church isn't complete. The church is people, and the activator is God. So when we step out and go from sidelines to the field, when we get in the game, the team is more complete. The team is better equipped. I'll never forget, Diana, hearing you sing at your brother's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
It was a small wedding, and it was you, your mom, and your sister. And I remember hearing heaven because, you know, there's a thing. I don't know if you know this, Taylor. I'm saying only this because music. Anyway, Taylor, let me just tell you. Did you know that if you have siblings or if you sing with a family member, that there is a frequency that you harmonize better with your family?
No
did
way.
You know that?
No, I did
yeah.
not.
Yeah. And there's a sermon illustration there, but I'm not going to dig it out just now. I'll let it brew
for
a while.
Sunday, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I heard that beautiful harmony, the three of y'all singing, and I thought, my goodness, she's got a gift. And at the time, you weren't serving on the worship team.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, you chose to lend your gift to the Lord, not only your gift, but your time.
Mm-hmm.
And that has built the church up. The gift that God gave you, because you give it back to God, it builds up the church. That's true of all of our gifts. I wish, in fact, for many years, I prayed that I could sing. And that's a gift that God has chosen not to give me. I can't sing. I don't like the sound of my voice. But I have other gifts, right? And so I think sometimes we think it's fun that this is turning into a gift conversation. But sometimes we think we can't serve because we are not gifted like other people are, or because we want to be gifted in other areas. But finding out what your God-given gift is critical. And when we do that and give it back to God, it builds up the church in a beautiful way.
Our gifts aren't for ourselves. I think that's something that's sometimes hard for me to grasp, because it kind of feels nice and like a superpower that I want to just use for my own attention or my own glory, but it really is for...
Yeah, and one more thing. Sorry, it really is for him. Is that what you're going to say?
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, go for it.
We sometimes don't even know what our gifts are, and so the best way to find out what your gifts are is to serve and try.
Mm-hmm.
Serve on the coffee team. If you serve on the coffee team and you really love checking in with people and asking people how their day was, and that you have the gift of hospitality. And so that's a great place for you to serve. And this is just Sunday morning specific, but it's way greater than Sunday morning. But Sunday morning is a great place to learn what your gifts may be. And if you're an intercessor, talk to our prayer pastor, Rhonda, and talk to her about getting involved in the prayer team, because that is a gift that builds up the church. So anyway, all this to say, practice, and then you'll see what
absolutely
the gift is.
I was actually thinking back to something, Diana, you said that seemed really subtle, but it is really profound. Just the way that you were talking about the love that you have for people, and it's not something that's maybe super scripted or maybe always very intentional, but what I just heard and what you were sharing is that you are for people. And so you recognize when they're having bad days, or you're looking and just paying attention to them. I think that's something that, regardless to your point, Jose, the gifts that we've been given, it's like just focusing and being attentive to what God is doing in someone, whether that's praying for someone, listening to someone. I mean, these seem like very simple kind of concepts, and yet they can be so profound, because I think I'll just venture to say, I'd love to hear y'all's thoughts, but that's just so rare in the world these days, because it really is about what I can get out of somebody or what they can do for me. And so even just simply showing up in someone's life, it can be in the church, serving on a team, showing up on Sundays, but also just in the day-to-day, as far as in the relationships, being able to have just showing a love for someone that I think really begins to stand out. And I've had conversations with people that, you know, I've recognized when it's a genuine love and there's no strings attached, and there's something that draws me to them because I recognize that that's so unique and that's rare.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. I think that's ties into if someone's done that to you. So Diana, you mentioned your parents modeled that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really cool legacy there that you're continuing, that your parents modeled what it looks like to serve the church. You've had other people reach out to you, make you feel that belong, create a safe place so that you can grow. And then you grow oftentimes by getting out of your comfort zone and reaching and serving and talking to others. So all three and enforce each other. And again, we see them very clearly in Matthew 28 as well.
it may seem easy, or at least I'll speak for myself. It is easy for me to love those that are either like me or that like me. Jose, you had mentioned that on Sunday, that we just naturally gravitate towards that way. But I'd love to hear y'all's thoughts. Danny, I'll start with you as far as how do we cultivate a heart of compassion or love or be for someone that is hard to love, that maybe is not showing us love back or is not like us in different ways, shape, or form. And so how do you just continue to cultivate a heart of love towards people that are hard to love? And maybe your kids some days, I don't know. It could be different people, but just how do you continue to have just that wellspring of love in your heart? And Jose, I'd love to hear your thoughts after.
Yeah, I just think about not being the easiest person to always love myself, and how some people just have continued to come after me. Like, I've had some conversations with some leaders who ask me all sorts of questions, let me vent to them, and then we say goodbye, and I'm like, I didn't ask them a thing about themselves at all. Like, I didn't even ask how they're doing. But they just allowed me to be in that place of needing. And that was just, I guess, where God had us at that moment. But I guess that's what I think about when I'm not receiving back in that way, because...
Yeah. Yeah, and that speaks to space. People create space for you, and I think a way that we cultivate compassion is we have to make space. So we have to create margin to see those around us. I think about the parable of the Good Samaritan. The two religious leaders didn't have any margins. They were in a hurry, but then came this Good Samaritan who probably didn't have margin either. He obviously had means. He probably had somewhere to be, but he chose to slow down and see somebody in need, and he created a safe space for that person and helped them in his time of need. And I think margin is a big deal. I think we need to be very intentional and aware of where we are with our compassion. I would venture to say that if you're running low on compassion, work on refueling that compassion before you serve. And I say that from experience. I know, and I'm looking at a man who's graced me in some of my lowest moments where I'm running low on compassion, and sometimes I just need to go home. I need to go take a nap because I'm better rested than running low on compassion. What do you have to say about that,
Taylor? I'm not going to comment on that. But no, I think both of you are modeling this, but humility, I think, is the name of the game here. And recognizing, I think of Paul when he talks about, he calls himself the worst of sinners. And you think, you're like, well, actually, he was pretty good. He was a pretty, like,
all right.
He was a leader in the church and just a massive, you know. But I think that that's kind of the posture that, Diana, to your point, that we can all have, where the people that are difficult to love, recognizing that we are not perfect. And I think a lot of times what I can tend to do is try to find the faults quickly in other people and trying to take the speck out of a bunch of people's eyes instead of recognizing the planks in my own life. And I just look up to, there's several people I can think of just even in our church and on our staff that have walked with Jesus longer than I've been alive. And they just carry themselves with a grace and a humility towards me and just to other people that it's refreshing, because I think they recognize that, okay, I'm still figuring things out. I don't have this all together. And so there's a space and a safety that they provide for me that I just feel, just even in the way that they respond to comments I make or venting that I do or questions that I ask. So I think that's a big piece here. Something that I think also helps in all of this is community. And we referenced it earlier, but we all are part of community groups. Diana, you've started a group with your husband and another couple just within the last school year, right? Like, just within the last year. Yeah. I'd love to hear your thoughts on just the role of belonging as it relates to Reach, as far as how have you just seen your community group, not only just bless, you know, your family, but just you individually when it comes to reaching and just being on mission of what God has for you.
Yeah, for me, the community group has just been a huge encouragement for me. Sorry, excuse me. We've invited so many people, and so many people have accepted that invitation, and some people have come and not come back, but we've stayed in contact with a lot of those people and continued to be able to love them. And our community group is just, we love being together. And I think we really ace the belong but we do like to grow too. Like we're vulnerable with each other. And, so that's, you know, we talk about God and who he is and the Bible, and we ask questions and grow in those. I loved this question this week, Taylor, about the faith and doubt, the, what was it?
Worship and doubt. Yeah.
Because that's where I am so much in community group and in worship. Sometimes I'm just asking God questions, and I see that in our community group. And so we just continue to, we're hoping this next year to really continue reaching out into our neighborhood. And it's sweet because most of our community group is
in the neighborhood.
Yeah, that's pretty ideal. So I think about love your neighbor as yourself, and a lot of people say that's not necessarily your neighbor, but I'm also like, maybe that is your neighbor. Like you do take that literally.
Yeah.
So that just, it excites me to see God working in our neighborhood. Yeah. It encourages me.
This is not a trick question, but you just mentioned it earlier. And I think for me, being in community group for a while, I can take for granted, but you mentioned when people have been invited and they've accepted, and you've seen just the growth in your group. What do y'all think is the motivator of coming to group, as far as what is so special about community group? And even sometimes, I know, Jose, this is your story, showing up is easier to a community group first than even coming to church on a Sunday. So how have you seen just God using community groups just in the people that he's brought? What do you think they enjoy or latch on to, or just kind of what have you seen in the conversations you've had?
Yeah, so I think it's just coming to church on Sunday, it can be a little bit overwhelming for people. It's hard to have personal conversations. Community group, it's just smaller, more intimate. Our group shares a meal together first, and that gives us a lot of time to chat.
Bonus points right there. You have food. That's great.
And ours is excellent too. Shameless plug.
Yeah, there I was going to say, Monday nights. Well, no, but also you just mentioned this. I know it's unique for certain groups, but they're also down the street, right? Like you're in a neighborhood together. So that's, you can't most beat that group, as far as, I know we're still a small town, but just the fact that you can just, I don't know if people walk down the road or at least can just drive a quick distance. So there's something
special. We walked once to our community group, but then Taylor drove and then the kids and I drove back. So we've only done that once. But I do think that there's something there with geography that makes the belong stronger, because it's really happening right where you are. You don't have to go very far.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with the church. We want to be an outpost where we are. There's not a lot of special, you know, we're not special in any for any other reason besides being unique. And what makes us unique is the people that congregate in a specific place. So that's what God wants. That's what the Great Commission sent out. As a response, we read in the book of Acts, many went out to different cities. It was geographical. It wasn't, hey, now come to Jerusalem where this massive gathering of believers will occur. And, you know, you need to come here once a month or once a year. No, it was the gospel going to people. And so I do think, to answer your question, Taylor, what's different? We should feel different walking into an intentional group, whether it's if you've been a part of a Bible study in the past but when you're intentionally gathering, yes, to hang out with one another, but also to make Jesus the main thing, to open up his word.
Yeah.
Bonus points if you break bread. I mean, how often do we see that in the scriptures where Jesus went into someone's home, or later in Acts, you know, they broke bread in each other's homes. There should be something different in that gathering, and that difference is the Spirit of God that is with us when we gather in that way. And so I love when, and we have a few people, one couple specifically that I'm thinking about. Community group was what changed their, well, it changed my life. But here recently, a couple came to community group and they said, we've never been a part of anything like this.
Yeah.
And that's because it's God. And multi-generations, we wouldn't necessarily all hang out outside, you know, but we do hang out to worship Jesus and to share our lives around him. So Jesus should be the difference maker.
Yeah, we've had people say that as well.
I was going to say, no better way to end the conversation. That sums up the entire series and the book of Matthew. Jose, you have any final words?
Yeah, Jesus said this in the Gospel of John. He didn't say that in the Gospel of Matthew, but by this, others will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That's what we're after. Belonging together, growing together, reaching together. We are a family of imperfect people following the perfect Savior, Jesus. And that's what we want to continue to be about. So really enjoy the conversations, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Conversations podcast. Be a part of the conversation by sending questions about the Sunday message directly from ccc.guide or by emailing conversations@cypresscreekchurch.com. See you back for the next conversation.